Hi, everybody. Welcome back to episode 4 of the Young and Dumb podcast. Here we are, Rochelle and Beatrice.
I'm like scared to talk. My voice is a little hoarse. We're going to have to deal with it. I'm still here. We're still trying. I actually feel fine. I just sound like I'm in excruciating pain.
But you're not.
No, I'm actually chilling. You know, I'm a little congested. That's the only inconvenience. But I have my tea beside me, hoping that my voice doesn't sound as bad as it does right now.
So, let's rate our weeks, since you're all dying to know how this week has been. I will go first because I feel like I probably have a shorter answer, maybe. So we haven't recorded in about a week and a half, so there's a little bit more kind of stuff that has happened in the past week and a half. But overall, I would say that my past week and a half has been probably a solid 7. I'm always there, but I like to, you know, actually, I'm going to put it down to a 6, even though those are the only two numbers I've ever said in this podcast. 6, because there is a lot of schoolwork that is starting to pile up for me. Lots and lots. So it's a little bit scary. But yeah, my mom came to visit me from like Wednesday through Friday, which was nice.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Hello, Sylvie. Yeah. So that was exciting. And I did a couple fun things with some people from my practicum group. And I went to see a Rams volleyball game. I feel like I should mention that. Well, last night I went to see Rams versus York Lions. And it was actually lots of fun. I miss going to sports games, even though like it's never really something that I consider myself a big fan of, but every time I go to a sports game, no matter what it is, I just get super into it because it's like two teams and competition and I don't know. All that to say, Jesus, that my week was at a 6 because stressful with school, but I did get to do a lot of fun things. And also being at a sports game was just like fun. Obviously everyone was still wearing masks and stuff and had to show proof of vaccine to get into the place, but like it was bleachers full of people and I was like, whoa, this is kind of normal a little bit. So it's kind of crazy.
That does sound crazy. Honestly, I'm gonna bump my week rating to a 5, which is crazy.
That is crazy. I literally muted my mic for a second, but I just had to unmute because that is so good.
So crazy. I'm usually right at the bottom, but the reason it's at a 5 is because we wrapped shooting for my practicum, and I absolutely adore my practicum group, and I just love spending time with them, and they're all just so inspiring, and I love them all, so it's always nice to be with them. And I spent majority of my week in Toronto. I love being in Toronto, and it was just a fun time, so that was good. But then as the week progressed, it got a little worse, but I'm gonna balance it out and call it a 5. So shout out to my practicum group for bumping up my rating. Shout out to you guys.
Yay. So lovely. I'm so glad to hear that. Oh, dude. I can't believe that I didn't say this earlier on. Like, on Friday, November 12th, it was a 10 out of 10 day. So, like, I don't... Yeah, maybe that's going to bump my rating back up to a 7 or 8. And this is leading us into the next topic. Music of the week, because as we know, we love Taylor Swift in this house. Well, in my side of the house,
on the upper floor. On the top floor, we love Taylor Swift. And on the main floor, we love Silk Sonic.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift and Silk Sonic both put out albums. I'm gonna be talking about the Taylor because we are big fans. But yeah, Red, Taylor's version, came out. So in light of that, obviously I love every single song. I was blown away. Like when I just heard her voice singing just these songs, like she sounds so good. And I'm so happy she put that out. The All Too Well short film, like it just, please, like I know whatever, Taylor Swift has gotten a bad reputation. Ha ha ha. And whatever, it's pop music, blah blah blah. However, please just listen to it. It's so good. So unfortunately I do have to pick 3 songs because that is what we said we were doing here. I'm gonna pick 1 song that was from the original Red album, 1 Vault song, and obviously I will just say it, the 10-minute version of All Too Well. Those new verses, shocking. Jake Gyllenhaal canceled forever.
Oh no.
Literally, like, I can't imagine, like, I was gonna say I almost feel bad, but I don't. But I honestly cannot imagine just, like, being him right now.
I read this thing this morning on Twitter, And Dylan O'Brien, like, is in the video, right? He
Mm-hmm.
acts in the video. And it's supposed to be about Jake Gyllenhaal, correct? And he said, I didn't shower for 10 days in preparation of the role.
Yeah, because I
That's
guess
crazy.
there's like this thing where like Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't believe in showering.
He said like he feels it's unnecessary to shower often.
Yeah.
That's what Jake Gyllenhaal said. I thought that was so funny.
I know. But then like, obviously, yes, we know that that video is supposed to be about them too, but there's interviews of like Dylan O'Brien being asked like, oh, blah, 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 is this about Jake? And he's like, no, my character's name was Brandon. I don't know anything about that. It's very cute.
That's funny.
They have this little thing. But anyway, yeah, All Too Well 10-minute version, like, amazing. My favorite re-recording of a previous Red song is The Last Time, because I just love that song so much. It is so heartbreaking, and honestly, I can relate to it a little bit too much lately, so yes, very, very good. And it's Taylor Swift, and it's Gary Lightbody, the guy from Snow Patrol, so it's just, like, two amazing voices. And then my... It's very hard, actually, for me to pick a song from The Vault because there's a few of them that I really do like. But when it comes to Taylor Swift and Phoebe Bridgers collabing on a song, come on. So, yeah, my favorite song from The Vault is Nothing New. And that's what I have to say. Please go listen to Red. It's the only thing I've listened to. And also, there's two versions of All Too Well on that album. And I swear to you, I have listened to the lyrics of that song probably over 50 times in the past, like, 48 hours. Which is shocking. But anyway, that's my little rant.
I look forward to listening to it, but when you told me it was like 2 hours, I was like, I'm really gonna have to set some time aside. I am a person who needs to listen to the album all the way through the first time. Like, I need to hear the cohesion in the story from top to bottom. So one day I will carve out 2 hours to listen to the album. I've heard great things, so. And I do admire her as a songwriter. She tells stories very, very well. But on the same magical day, Silk Sonic dropped their album called An Evening with Silk Sonic. And I don't even know what to say about it besides, like, it's just phenomenal and it's groovy. And they've described it as, like, a love letter to the 70s or the 60s. And you can really just hear their influences in the album and in the music. And first person, like, right off the bat that I thought of was James Brown, who I know Bruno Mars is very influenced by. And if you like funk and soul, you're just gonna love the album. And the lyrics are great. You can hear their influences, but it's also very admirable the way they use that inspiration and make it their own thing at the same time. I've been a fan of, like, a diehard fan of Bruno Mars since I was, like, 10 years old. So I really do love anything that he does. But I've recently become a fan of Anderson .Paak. Like, I actually, weirdly enough, started listening to his stuff right before they announced that Silk Sonic was even a thing. So the combination of the two artists was, like, crazy to me. And they really do just make magic together. So if you are a fan of the genre and just want to have a good time and get up and dance, I highly recommend the album. So my three songs off of the album, it's really hard to choose. I am going to avoid the singles that came out beforehand. So I'm going to choose Fly As Me as the first song, After Last Night as my second song, and Put On A Smile as my third song. If I had to rank those, I think After Last Night would be first, Fly As Me would be second, and Put On A Smile would be third. Put On A Smile is, like, the slower one. It's the ballad of the album, but this one is only 30 minutes, so you can really, on a commute, on a car ride, you can listen to the whole thing. I highly recommend it. It's great.
All right, so this week, we decided that we wanted to touch on mental health and self-care in university because it is a super important topic, especially when you're transitioning from high school into university. It can definitely take a big toll on you, the amount of work you have to do and just being in a new environment. So yeah, we just wanted to talk about the importance of self-care, what role self-care plays in the upkeep of good mental health, some tips that we have in case you're really not doing that great in university, which a lot of us start out that way, and just kind of what has helped us and what we've been through, and yeah.
So before university, I already had my struggles with mental health, but new struggles presented themselves once I came into university, because as we've said before, It's a huge transition and a lot changes and a lot continues to change while you're in it. But I would say first year was the worst for me just because of the obvious reasons. Like I just said, the transition, learning so many new things at once, adapting to this new culture, being scared to meet new people and hoping that you're meeting the right ones and going down the right paths. And it's just a lot to think about all at once, all the time. But after that, I think where my mental health took me in a negative direction was around balancing my time and the fear of kind of wasting my life away by worrying so much about my schoolwork and my performance or my academic performance. I've had a problem with putting too much pressure on myself when it comes to grades and the way I do my academic work. And I honestly just feel like as the years go by, that pressure becomes a lot greater. And that's like the main thing that's really kind of eaten me alive in university is the years go by and I expect my averages to be higher and I don't accept a grade below a certain percentile. And it's become really toxic for me. And again, like now being a commuter and having to commute again, it's just like you have to accept the fact that you can't do anything really for like 1 to 2 hours. And I just really need to learn how to chill and accept that there will be moments where I can't be doing schoolwork and it's okay and things will get done regardless. And it's honestly just still a learning process that I'm just trying to learn how to deal with things and kind of change my perspective, which can be really hard when your brain seems wired to think a certain way. And it's honestly also gotten to the point where I can ask for all the help and get all the advice and still be set in my ways, which is so annoying. And I'm very conscious of it, but it's just the way it happens. But that would be my main mental health struggle when it comes to university, I would say. Rochelle has been quite a witness.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, I'm sure there's so many people that's, you know, a big thing for them. The way that grading happens, like, changes from high school to university is obviously, like, huge difference. And if you're used to getting a certain grade in high school and then it drops immediately when you go into university, like, that's a lot of people are pretty shocked by that transition. So completely valid, bro. I was just sitting here and I was like, I obviously have had certain mental health struggles in university, but I don't really know if they're that related to the actual university experience. And then I kind of thought I can talk about in first and second year, I kind of had like my mental struggles in regards to university had to do with self-esteem, which I kind of went through a very transitional period during the pandemic when I was home. And right now I consider myself somebody with pretty good self-esteem, and it really took me a long time to get here because I was just so insecure always, and especially in the first couple years of university. So in first and second year, I think I mentioned this in the relationships and dating episode, but I didn't really go out and meet people and go to parties very often, which was, you know, how a lot of people were making their friends. And I remember, you know, going to the dining hall and there were all these people that kind of knew each other and were eating meals together. And, you know, they had a vibrant looking social life from the outside anyway. And it kind of like made me really sad every time that I had to just see all these people and see like, oh, they're doing really well in their social lives and I haven't really met a lot of these people. I just kind of felt like very outcast-ish, and, you know, not a lot of my friends went to parties either. So, and I knew that it was something that I wanted to do, but I was just also so insecure. I felt like, oh, all these other people in res are like way prettier than me, or they're more fun, or they're this and they're that. So it did kind of take a toll on me, and I was kind of also scared to go out, like I said, because I was in a relationship. So that was kind of a big part of it. And I mean, I also, like, even going to lectures and stuff, like, I think in one of the first couple episodes, Beatrice was like, oh, I'm not really, like, aware of who's around me, and that's why she, like, didn't notice me. But I am so hyper aware of everybody always, because I was just like constantly comparing myself to like every girl in my lectures, being like, oh, she's more this than me, or she's more that than me, or I wish I looked like that or this. So yeah, that was kind of very bad, especially in a time where I was like, I have to change myself to be more like these people to be happier, which is kind of like the conclusion I was able to come to during the pandemic, was that is totally incorrect. I'm very happy with who I am, and I know for a fact that I have a lot to offer now. also, yeah, but I know for, you know, people going into university, that can be a huge thing. And even if you don't realize it, like, you can just be like, oh, I don't know why I feel like bad about myself and feel like other people are doing better than me. And that even applies to, you know, academics as well. You kind of start comparing yourself to all these people because you're out of high school. And now it's kind of like everyone's kind of, I don't really want to say fending for themselves, but in a way, yeah, because now you're just all on your own life journeys and they can look like different things. So if you feel like somebody is doing better than you in any sort of way, whether like, you know, academics, career-wise, whatever, or in my circumstance where I was just insecure about the way that I looked or, you know, the amount of friends that I had, it's really tough. And I think comparison is a huge thing that affects a lot of us in university. So just know that if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. And I got through it and I was so bad for it. So I genuinely believe that if I was able to kind of come out and now feel good about myself, I honestly think that anybody can.
As you were talking, I actually thought about the comparison thing manifesting into academics, and then you actually mentioned it, which was funny. But I think that especially being in a creative program, and this might be a hot take, I guess, but being in a creative program, I almost feel like it's natural to look at the people around you and your peers and compare yourself to them, because everybody comes from completely different backgrounds, completely different experience. And the way things are is that a group of kids will have way more experience than you have in the industry you're working to get into. Some will have way less. Some come with a clean slate, don't know what they're doing, just trying to learn, you know? And some will have some experience. And it's really easy to feel like you're not doing enough or that you don't belong in the field that you're trying to get into because you feel intimidated or you feel that you're not capable of doing things that you see your peers doing, because it almost feels like you're behind in the timeline since they're in the same place but still doing more, or that's how it seems. So I feel like I really had to teach myself during these 4 years that everybody is just on their own path and on their own journey. And everybody's going to get to where they need to be. And some people, it just happens for some people faster than it does to others. And that's okay. And it's just like, I feel like that's a really hard conclusion to come to when you're in a program that is just so creative in nature. And it's really important to shift your mindset from these are my competitors to these are people that inspire me and motivate me. And I can learn a lot from them. And I think that was like a huge thing that really helped me, being in a creative program in comparison.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from what we're saying is just kind of, these are our struggles and they are so normal and so, like, literally every person that you are surrounded by in university, I promise you, has these same thoughts. Just because somebody seems like, you know, they have it all together. And I know we hear it all the time that like, oh, nobody has it all together. Social media is a highlight reel, blah, 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 blah. But it's honestly true. Just like, you know, even me and Beatrice sometimes look at each other and be like, oh, I wish I had this of yours, or I wish I had this, like, you're so good at this, and blah, 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 blah. But we all have these struggles because we are all human. And I just hope that knowing that can make you guys kind of feel more, you know, we're all kind of in this together. Obviously, like, some people have certain advantages that others don't and whatever. But in terms of sort of mental health, like, everybody has their struggles and it sucks. And obviously, also, I should just say, if you are able and you feel like you need to get extra help, like, please try to go for it. I know it can be super scary, but from somebody who has had, you know, a lot of mental health struggles with anxiety and stuff like that, it is so beneficial to stick with it and try your best to find somebody who can really understand you properly and help you.
Try to look into programs that the school has to offer. I mean, I know that that's helped some people. To that point, I just think the reality of it is we are all insecure about the things we just don't have as people. And that doesn't make one person better than the other. We're just like conditioned to feel like we're worse than somebody because we don't have the exact same qualities. So it's like, if you're good at camera work and I'm not, I'm going to feel like I'm the less talented student because you're good at this. But then maybe if you put me in front of like a motion graphics program, you won't know anything about it and I'll know everything about it. And it's just like, we just have different talents and that doesn't make one person better than the other. And that's just like a huge thing. It's just funny because like you brought up the conversations we have about, you're so good at this, I wish I was good at that. And then you say the same to me. And it's like, that's just how people are. People are always like, oh, I wish and I admire you for this and whatever. But like, it doesn't make you worse or better.
No, yeah, nobody's going to be able to do everything, and the things that you're good at is what makes you you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying so many cheesy things, but they're very true, yeah. But yeah, if you feel like your mental health needs it, reach out to support. And if you can't, although they might not be as good, it's always good to try sort of free resources that are available to you in your community or even online, because we live in an age where it's kind of... Obviously, you know, the internet has deteriorated society's mental health, I believe. But at the same time, there are easier ways to access, you know, quick ways of feeling better if you need them.
We're both in therapy, so highly recommend. If you can, of course, just try to find something that works for you. There are quite a few free kind of programs that you could try out. So it's worth a try, I think.
So something else we just wanted to get into to give you guys, you know, a place to start if you don't know where to go with self-care, because self-care is a super important part of taking care of your mental health. It can look like anything, but we're just kind of going to share our top three tips that have worked for us in times where we feel like our mental health is suffering a little bit due to university or due to whatever. So my three tips. My first one is going to be talk to someone or have some sort of human interaction. I find often if I get really anxious or I get kind of sad, feeling kind of empty, feeling kind of lonely, I will just kind of feel the need to stay in my room. And when I say get any sort of human interaction, like I mean it. I know some people would be like, oh, call a friend or whatever, but that honestly, you know, can take up a good chunk of your day. And then, you know, you have other things to do and blah, blah, blah. Genuinely, like if you even like go out into your, I remember when I lived at home, like I would feel, you know, kind of sad and anxious, and then just going out into the kitchen, getting a snack and, you know, talking to my mom for 5 minutes, it just like makes you feel better. It makes you realize that, okay, there's a world outside of what's going on in your head, and it kind of like grounds you a little bit. So I would say even like, you know, go order a coffee at a coffee shop and talk to the person for 2 seconds as they check you out, you know? That is my first tip. My second tip is to make yourself a snack or a meal, because if you're like, hey, I deserve, you know, good things in my body, I'm gonna go take the time out of my day because my vessel, my human body deserves it, make myself something good, then you're kind of like telling your body like, hey, I deserve good things. And it's kind of just a subconscious thing. Plus, obviously, having a full belly is always good for feeling better, mental health. Associated with the gut, we know this. We talk about this. So that's my second tip. And then my third tip is, just because I'm obsessed lately with taking walks, is to go on a walk. When I first moved to Toronto, I was kind of always like in my apartment, or I would be like going to a cafe, because in my head going on a walk was kind of like, oh, you're supposed to go in nature. And there are quite a few nice parks in Toronto that I didn't realize until I started doing this. But also just going on a walk in the city, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, in this beautiful long trail. Like, you can just go on a walk down the street and you're seeing people. Makes you feel like, hey, other people have lives and issues as well, so I'm not alone. And you're getting fresh air, you're moving around. All around, it is a good thing to do for your mental health. So those are my top three tips. Make yourself a snack, go on a walk, and talk to somebody. Very simple things, but if you can try to do at least one of them every day, every few days, then you'll probably start to feel better if you start doing it a little bit consistently. So that's that.
Yeah, those are all like easy things to do that have great impact on your mental health without you even realizing. You saying that also just reminded me of every time I go to your apartment and I look at all the windows and I'm like, wow, nothing matters.
Yeah, Beatrice has started doing that. I don't know. It's cute.
It just remind, like, you know, when you see the amount of people right in front of you, it's like all of these people have stories and have their own struggles, and it just makes everything in your life feel so insignificant in the best way. My first tip, and I think the most important thing, is, and it's not always possible, but it's so effective for me, and it might not work for you, but it works for me, is to plan out a day in the week where you can just do nothing and you can just do what you want with the day and you don't have to worry about the things that stress you out the most. Or even if that's not possible, a good, like, set a good chunk out of one of the days that you have to just be free and do what you want. Because I feel like in university, it's really easy to just feel like you have to be go, go, go all the time. And that is not a healthy way to live. And you need to be productive in the sense of be productive with your mental health. Like, if you don't set out blocks of time for yourself to just chill, your body's going to do that for you. And you're just going to be stressed out afterwards. Because I remember there was like a really busy time in the semester. And then like the next day after having done like a million assignments, I could not do anything. I could not find the brain power or energy to get up. And that's why it's important to kind of take the moment to recharge for a second, because it actually ends up helping you be more productive when you make the time. It's really important to understand that being productive doesn't necessarily mean you're doing things like schoolwork and chores and errands and whatever. Being productive is also doing what you need to do to nourish your mental health. And if you nourish your mental health by lying down on the couch all day and watching your favorite show, then that is being productive. If you feel better when you're well rested and you take some extra hours to sleep, that's being productive. Don't let this, like, sorry, don't let this capitalist, like, mindset get to you. You need to be productive in both senses, and it's just going to work out better for you that way if you prioritize your mental health the way you prioritize your other responsibilities. Something cute and small that I've done is I've curated a skincare routine for myself. I think there's like a sort of subconscious illusion that happens when you physically take care of yourself in some way that convinces you and your brain that you're taking care of yourself mentally as well, and it has a little bit of a serotonin release or something. But, you know, it's like a 15 minute thing, sometimes 10 minutes that I do. I know I'm doing something good for my skin, and it makes me feel good. And it's just a little thing that I can do, and you can do this in various ways, like anything physical. Like Rochelle said, she goes for walks, and it's just like a good thing you're doing for yourself physically that just has an effect mentally. You know, other people exercise, like go to the gym. There's a bunch of things you can do, but just things that make you feel good. And then my last tip would be to do something that you love to do that you might not always have time to do during school. So the best example I can give is like music is my kind of thing. And sometimes I'll just like take 30 minutes to sing for a little bit, or I'll play piano, or I'll just like listen to a couple of my favorite songs. Or something I found that really works and I recommend to everybody is playing like 5 songs in a row that were huge during your childhood and just like belting it out at the top of your lungs. Because it just, like, takes you back to the time where you had no responsibilities whatsoever and you were just vibing. So it's just, like, this really cute, it's a really cute thing that happens in your brain. So just, like, whatever it is that you love to do as a hobby, take some time during your week to do that for yourself so that you can make yourself happy. Like, please make time for yourself and your happiness.
So, yeah, I know this was a little bit of a shorter episode, but we have kind of said our piece on the importance of self-care regarding your mental health, and also just the ways in which your mental health can be affected by university. But again, know you're not alone. And also, please, 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 if you are able and you feel like you need it, reach out and get some sort of help. It is so very important to take care of your mental health as you would your physical. I know we hear it all the time, but it really is just as important. So, yeah.
Please remember that if you need anybody, you can hit us up in our DMs. We will happily do our best to give you any advice, or even if you just need someone to listen to what you're going through, we really are the happiest to do that for you.
Yeah.
And we will obviously do our best to help you out in any way that we can. So please know that if there's no other resource for you, our DMs are open and we are your friends.
Always, yes. So, yeah, I think that's where we're going to end it off. If you do want to follow us on Instagram, in case you do ever want to send us a DM about anything, about mental health, about music you're listening to, about anything, the Instagram is at Young and Dumb Podcast, Y-O-N-G-E and Dumb Podcast. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We hope it was helpful in some way. And yeah.
See you next week.
Bye. Bye-bye.